The Grant and Danny program, live until 6:30 on The Fan. Ontario McLaurin got a 3-year extension from the Commanders today.
Die.
Brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad Day. Help you to draft a last will and testament day. I'll set up a living trust for you day. And put together a medical power of attorney day. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today. By visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.day. I thought that might get you.
You got me.
Beltway Blitz time. We're going to cover the NFL, the Commanders, and right now, let's talk a little baseball. Mark Zuckerman, massinsports.com. Mark, we'll get to the big club. I know we need to talk about them, and that's kind of the gig and all. Harleen Susana, man, he's on a roll in AA. This is the electric right-hander who came over in the Soto deal, 21 years old, touched 104 miles an hour yesterday, struck out double digits for the second straight start in AA. What's the chance we get to see him make a cameo in September?
Well, you know, normally I would say no chance of that, but I was reminded yesterday when the subject came up about how they did this with Yoan Adone a few years ago. Remember, he pitched the final game of the season against the Red Sox, a game that meant a ton to Boston, and he pitched great. He struck out 9, and we all thought, oh, my God, who is this kid? He's going to be the future. It didn't quite work out that way for him. So I imagine there's going to be some hesitation towards doing something like that. But if Susana keeps pitching like this and shows that he's healthy, remember, he had a big injury scare earlier this year. You never say never. Certainly they're real pleased with this as far as the long term goes, but he's still really young, throws really hard. It'll be fascinating because obviously there's different people in charge now than there used to be. And so what are their motivations if they were to consider something like that? Is it to show everyone, hey, here's what we have? Is it to make a statement? Is it to boost their own profile? Or are they more reserved in their way of approaching these kinds of things and looking at the longer picture as opposed to the immediate flash that would bring?
Mark, I have the internet. I have the ability to watch these games on television, and I do. And I'm not telling you the overall record is good, and I'm aware of all the information. I will say they're 8-7 over the last 15 games. There's a friskiness. There's a scratching and clawing, to use some of the parlance, that this team is doing. And they're doing it with, without a lineup that, would probably win 80, 90 games over the course of a season. 8-7 over your last 15 ain't too shabby when you were, I think, 30 games under 500 at one point this year.
Well, and especially who they just played in the Phillies and the Mets, and now they face the Yankees here, the next three. They've been very competitive against these teams. To me, what stands out is two things. One is their three top starting pitchers, Gore, Cavalli, and Lord, are all pitching well enough, and in some cases really well, and giving them a chance. They're 7-2 in the last 9 games started by those guys. Now, the other two guys, Irvin and Parker, aren't giving them a chance. They're 1-7. In those games with those two. But the big three, if we want to call them that, is giving them a chance. And the second part of the equation is the bullpen. Yes, the bullpen is suddenly a strength, and I don't know if that's got staying power or not, but at the moment, all these guys, they've just cobbled together with very little experience, very little track record. They're actually getting the job done, especially the left-handers. That's been a stunning development, but it turned a game like yesterday where they're down early, 3-0, doing nothing offensively. And because the bullpen just kept pumping out zeros, it gave them a chance where they actually came up in the 9th inning down a run and almost pulled it off.
Yeah, and I've got to say, while it's funny, like I feel like I've never been more wrong about anything, and like this guy is in the running for Cy Young at this point. Shinagasawara, who I thought might as well, like, he could be cut by Hayfield High School if he tried out for their team, based on what I saw in spring training. I'm acting like this guy's had the greatest year ever. His ERA is over 5, but that kind of speaks to my expectations. Out of the bullpen, he's been really good. And left on left, getting guys like Harper and Schwarber and some tough customers, he's provided value, kind of slowing people away with his stuff.
It's the most unexpected development of the season, for sure.
Because, it's wild.
Yeah, I mean, what we saw in spring training and in those couple of starts he made in July, you just said to yourself, this guy's not a big leaguer. He's just not. But in the relief role and in short bursts, he doesn't have to throw the fastball very much. We know that's his weakest pitch. He's keeping these left-handed sluggers off balance with slower, and even slower than that, and a lot of movement. He can be crafty and fire all his bullets. He doesn't have to save anything up because he's not going to face them again. He's only going to face them once. Now, eventually the book's going to get out and teams are going to start to figure some things out. It's going to be up to him to see if he can actually do it. But if they're able to get anything out of him in a relief role and actually have him be a part of this thing moving forward, that's a huge win from what looked like a big L after they signed him for $3.5 million and what we saw from him in spring training and as a starter. It's a long way to go before we declare anything there, but some completely unexpected and a very positive development. It's actually a shame that they have the three-batter minimum now. If you could really use him as a loogie and just bring him in to face one or two left-handed hitters,
totally,
like Schwarber and Harper, it could really be something. The problem is going to be against the righties, which he has to face every now and then.
Mark, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
All right, thank you, guys.
We will see you, bud. Hit that NFL sounder. That's our pal Mike Jones of The Athletic. It's his music. Mike, this preseason is pretty much done and dusted in the books. Did your opinion of any team change based on their preseason?
No, not really. I don't think we got a large enough sample size to be able to say, hey, I see this. You know what I mean? It's like when we saw guys, you know, in week one and week two and then that three-quarter dress rehearsal in the old days, then you could really, you know, be swayed on an opinion. But I didn't see anything from a team this season, this preseason, that changed my mind on anything.
The Cleveland Browns kept four quarterbacks. Please explain that to me. And what's your take on the Shedeur Sanders reactions? It's almost like this is why teams wanted nothing to do with him. Like, he plays in the preseason, and there's these think pieces about how he's being sabotaged and, you know, the team hates him. And, I mean, it's just wild what's being written about this guy.
Well, I mean, I can tell you there's division within that building about that guy. And there are people who think that he didn't get a fair shake. And then there's some people who point to reasons why he didn't get more opportunities, like, from that same building. It's crazy. We're talking about a fifth-round pick.
But that's my point, right? He's like this lightning rod celebrity,
right?
Where, like, the talent, and I'm not saying he's terrible. He looked okay in a game. He looked terrible in another game. But, like, the talent does not equal all of the stuff that comes with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I myself even, like, thought about writing something, and then I'm like, dude, this is a fifth-round pick. Like, yeah, they don't get a whole lot of snaps. You know, they don't get a lot of reps. And, you know, he's playing, looked really good the first week, and looked bad the next game, but he was doing it against some guys who are going to be working at FedEx next week. And, you know, so it's too early. And it's okay that he's not ready. Give him more time to develop and have a real plan and be on the same page, which the Browns are not. And, you know, they asked for this. They created this mess. And so, yeah, you know, I guess it's mind-blowing but not surprising.
If we agree that the Buffalo Bills win the AFC East, and if you disagree, please tell me, who finishes second?
I think Miami, if Tua can stay healthy. They are the closest to, you know, there's still a lot of rebuilding going on in New England. There's, you know, retooling and kind of rebuilding with the Jets. And, you know, experimenting. We don't know if Justin Fields is going to, you know, be a quality full-time starter with them. So I'll go with Miami just because we know they've got a good offense if Tua is healthy. They've got some continuity on defense now for the first time in a while because Mike McDaniel didn't change defensive coordinators three straight years. This time he had the same guy. So I'll say Miami, even though I'm not, like, bullish on them.
Mike Jones of The Athletic with us. Micah Parsons in Dallas. We know that James Cook is back. We know that McLaurin got his deal. How does that one end? And what about Hendrickson in Cincinnati?
I still think that Jerry Jones will wind up finally opening up the checkbook and getting Micah Parsons taken care of. And it'll be a record-setting deal. And, you know, because this is just what we've seen Jerry Jones do. It'll be, you know, the 11th hour and they'll get it done. And it'll just have all been for nothing, just the Jerry Jones way. Hendrickson, I don't know. I mean, it sounded like they were getting kind of close, and now it's, you know, gotten, you know, it's not gotten done. So then you're just kind of wondering, okay, is this going to drag off? Just because this is an organization in Cincinnati where they're not really committed to winning. I've talked to a number of people around the league who say, yeah, I mean, they are committed to doing just enough to be, you know, interesting and to sell tickets. And they've got Joe Burrow. And the only reason why they paid those wide receivers is because Joe Burrow demanded it. But, you know, this is silly. They had a really bad defense. They need all the horses they can get, and they haven't paid this guy. But, again, they aren't a great organization. And so it kind of wouldn't surprise me if his dragged into the season some.
Mike, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
All right, have a good one, guys.
We will see you soon.
Hit that Local 53, please. Adam Kilgore covers the Local 53. That's why he's joining us here on the Beltway Blitz. Adam, your reaction. Terry McLaurin signed, sealed, delivered. Your thoughts?
Well, big picture, you know, it's just like sound the trumpets. The most anticipated season in decades in Washington can now begin peacefully and happily for all involved. You know, this is something that needs to happen. I think we all expect it to happen. But it's got to be a huge relief for all parties involved that it actually happened. Number two, I think Terry McLaurin did well for himself. You know, the guarantees when those come out are going to tell the real story. But as far as the $32 million AAV, that's a touch more than, you know, most people I spoke with around the league expected. I had heard to expect something like in the $28 to $30 million range, and he beat that, you know, by AAV. And again, that's not as important as the guarantees once we know those. But by that measure, he's like the sixth highest receiver in the whole NFL. So, you know, maybe his hold out and hold in ended up being worth it for him.
I mean, do you think when we get the actual numbers, like, I think the 96 is going to turn out to be the best case scenario, what it could be, and it's actually more like, and I don't know the numbers, but three and a lot less than that? Or do you think this is actually more authentic to what it might have been?
Well, I mean, the guarantees are certainly going to be less. You know, I once we get all the particulars, yeah, you know, I do think that 96 is probably, I guess I'd say, you know, like most NFL contracts, I'd be surprised if Terry McLaurin sees the entire $96 million here. But, you know, you never know. He's also one of the most durable and reliable and professional and skilled, you know, wideouts in the entire NFL. So, you know, I guess we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, I mean, I expect, you know, any contract of this size, especially for a guy who is nudging up to 30, there's probably going to be a little bit of funny money in there.
Adam, when is it fair for us, the team, Terry, everybody involved, when is it fair to expect Terry to be full Terry?
Week one. You know, I mean, he's out there, he's playing. Look, I mean, he's, you know, going into his seventh year. He knows the system. You know, I guess maybe there'll be a little bit of a ramp up. And certainly, you know, if these the last month of practice didn't matter, they wouldn't do it. But, you know, that being said, he's still the second best player on the team, probably. And, you know, once you put pen to paper, I think it's fair to expect him to show up and be himself.
Adam Kilgore of the Washington Post, been covering the Commanders throughout camp and the preseason. What are your biggest storylines to monitor going into cut down day tomorrow?
You know, I think it's going to be more so like how Adam Peters kind of churns the bottom of this roster as opposed to any big, you know, surprise cuts. You know, I don't think the way this roster is constructed right now, there's going to be, it's, you know, once the Brian Robinson situation got resolved, like, you know, there's really no candidates to be a surprise cut. You know, I guess there's always room for like shocks, but there's nothing I'm really monitoring. I mean, there's probably two or three difficult decisions, but, you know, there's a lot of guys, I think, at the bottom of the 53 that the Commanders can feel pretty good about getting to the practice squad. So I think it's going to be really like what the moves that Adam Peters and the front office makes trying to sort of bolster some of the deep, you know, down the roster kind of depth.
Adam, you just touched on it. Where do you think those difficult decisions are?
You know, probably like how they want to manage like the bottom of the defensive line. Like, you know, do they feel like they have enough depth to put guys like, you know, Eddie Goldman, Carl Davis, Sheldon Day, you know, do they want to put like all three of those guys on the practice squad or try to get them there and sort of have their, you know, second, third level depth be guys they will need to sort of like elevate on game day. You know, I think probably the most high profile one is what they do at quarterback with Josh Johnson. I think we all know that he beat out Sam Hartman for the third quarterback job. do they use a roster spot on a third quarterback, or do they try to get Josh Johnson through the practice squad, or do they go shopping for a different guy? I thought Josh Johnson, as far as third quarterbacks go, was pretty steady despite the three interceptions in the preseason game all camp. And they do have a little bit of consideration given that Marcus Mariota barely practiced at all, and it hasn't practiced in about a month with Achilles tendonitis. So the third quarterback is maybe a little more important than it typically would be this time of year, just based on Mariota's health.
Adam Kilgore has crushed it on the Commanders beat this summer. Thank you. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Adam.
Be good. There you go. Check out his work in and at the Washington Post. We are going to be joined by Albert Breer of MMQB next. He's got some insight on how the McLaurin deal came together today. So if you're interested, you'll want to hear that for sure. We'll get any specifics he has on some of the underlying numbers in the deal. Also, as soon as we return, the Commanders have released the first six players that they have cut. Those names are out. We will give you those next on Grant and Danny.
Third and goal. Daniels on the slant. Caught. Touchdown. McLaurin. His second of the half.
We'll catch up with Albert Breer of SI's MMQB in just a few. He's been plugged in on what's going on with Terry McLaurin throughout. In fact, Friday, he had the update that he felt like things were going better than was being reported.
Yeah, he has had the bellwether of all of it. Remember, he told us that it wasn't very good at all, and it was actually more acrimonious than people believed at first. He had
that was in the spring when he said that.
Absolutely. He had the tide turning here this past week, so he's been all over.
Here are some of the Commanders that got released today. They put out six names of the initial wave of cuts. They've got to whittle their roster all the way down to 53 and then their practice squad. Among their first cuts, wide receiver Braylon Sanders, who is a former D.C. defender, and wide receiver Michael Gallup, who played with the Dallas Cowboys, didn't really ever flash much to me in practice. Preseason wasn't particularly productive. He's trying to come back after missing a year last year. Going to be tough. Notably otherwise, I wonder if they're going to keep an extra center. That's a tell because either Nick Allegretti could not start at right guard and be their backup center, or Allegretti will start at right guard in week one against the Giants, which would mean probably that Wiley and Connerly are splitting at tackle initially. So I'm waiting to see what they do with Michael Dieter, but the center, Nick Harris, was released. Nothing else particularly notable there, but those are some of the names in the first batch. Narelle Pollard, a defensive tackle. Tyree Phillips, a tackle. And then Isang Bassi, a cornerback, among the six that Washington cut. But let's go to the guest hotline right now. Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. That's where we find our buddy Albert Breer. And Albert, we were just singing your praises. Early on, you said it was worse than people thought. It certainly went longer than we anticipated. And then Friday, you had some good news we read on the air that maybe things were a little better than people thought they might be at that time. So let's just start with your reaction to the news today that they got something done and to these initial figures of 3 and 96 mil.
Yeah, I mean, I think that these things can be difficult, like, at times. And I think this one was particularly tough for a couple of different reasons. I think for the team, you know, obviously they've got still relatively new people in there trying to establish precedents, trying to establish rules. And, you know, the reality is when you're negotiating a contract like this, everyone else in the locker room is paying attention, right? Including their agents. And so, like, you got that element of it in a very data-driven, new regime that's coming in and how they're going to handle players. And then, you know, on the other side of the table, you have a star player who has absolutely given you everything that you could possibly want from a player, from a professional, and who has ridden out some really tough times to get to where you are and where he is now. And so naturally he's going to look at it as, I have invested so much in this franchise, and, you know, rightfully so, he probably feels like he's owed something, right? So that can be a difficult spot for both sides to be in. They were pretty far apart at the beginning, they made up a lot of ground more recently. And, you know, this just feels to me like one of those ones that just maybe needed a deadline, you know. And the deadline is the beginning of the season, and you're getting closer and closer, and now you're about to break camp, or you have broken camp, and you're coming close to the deadline, or to the cutdown day, to cutdown day. And, you know, I think what you see, at least on paper now, I haven't, like, gotten a chance to dig into the nitty-gritty of the contract, but this is a million short of where DK Metcalf was on APY, on average per year. But the flip side, it's 1 year less than DK Metcalf. So the Commanders have 1 year less of control, one fewer year of control than the Steelers do over Metcalf. So I think that's your compromise there. And look, I never sensed that Terry wanted to be anywhere else but in Washington. And on the flip side, I know, like, that Dan Quinn holds Terry McLaurin in the highest regard as somebody he could build his program around. So I think this is the conclusion we were bound to get to. And, you know, again, like, maybe it's just one of those where it takes a deadline to push everybody into the middle.
Albert, when did this go from acrimonious? I mean, it was to a degree. How much, I think only those parties that were in the room all the time would know.
Yeah.
When did it go from acrimonious to, hey, we might actually be able to get something done here?
Well, I mean, like, there's acrimonious, and then there's a different level of that, right? Like, and so acrimonious is like, we vehemently disagree. I don't think this ever got to the point where it was like, I can't play there anymore, or the team saying we can't have this around anymore. Like, it was never at that point. Was there like natural acrimony over the pace of the negotiations, over where the other side was? Yeah, I mean, but that's natural. Like, I think that there was a pretty big disagreement on his value, you know, and what complicated things, of course, was his age. And then he's turning 30 in September. No player wants to hear that, but, you know, there's a reality to it in the way that those things can factor into a player doing a new contract, you know. And so did they have, like, some really big disagreements on value? Yes, they did. Was this ever at a point where it's acrimonious to the degree where you're going to say, I can't play there anymore, or we can't have him on the team anymore? Not even close. You know, I always got the sense that Terry wanted to play in Washington, and I have no doubt that the Commanders weren't even considering a scenario where McLaurin wasn't on the team in 2025.
Albert Breer on Grant and Danny. So, Albert, most of the time we wouldn't care about this, but because of the divisiveness and this being Peter's first real big opportunity to do a stare down like this, we're fascinated to see who caved and what the numbers actually look like. Do you know anything about the guaranteed money or the actual value of the contract?
Yeah, I mean, I just have the raw numbers that are out there. There's a $30 million signing bonus, which is something that's nice to get up front. I also know that this is the biggest contract ever done for it might be non-quarterback, but at least receiver of Terry's age. So, you know, he gets that feather in his cap. The guarantees, of course, as you guys know, is where the rubber meets the road. And so I guess this is what they would call his age 30 season, right? Like, so the key to me will be what's in his age 32 season. I think you can fairly assume that this year is guaranteed, that most, if not all, of next year is guaranteed. So to me, the most interesting number, and I think what you guys are going to want to dig into and see is what portion of his number for 2027 is guaranteed. Because it's, you know, obviously this year, like, he's getting his money this year, right? Like, that's not even a debate. So then the question becomes, did he get an extra year? Or did he get two extra years? I think that'll be the interesting one to look at.
So you mentioned the new regime coming in and sort of setting the tone. I mean, it's a fine line to walk because you need to be smart in terms of hoarding your salary cap space and, you know, being able to build the roster to help guys win. But you also want to take care of people. How did they do kind of this first go around in your mind? Again, it's a tough tightrope to walk.
Yeah, and I think, like, one of the keys to me was allowing Dan Quinn to be the football coach and Cliff Kingsbury to be the offensive coordinator, and making sure that, like, those relationships were always where they needed to be. And I think that that's important, you know, like, because, you know, in the end, sometimes there can be hard feelings that are left over from a negotiation like this. And so setting it up in a way where, you know, like the guys who are going to be hands-on with Terry when the season starts, those guys were in his corner. You know what I mean? Like those guys, there wasn't really any sort of issue that they were going to have with Terry there. So I like that, you know, and I also think that, like, just as far as setting the tone for the negotiation, showing discipline but not costing any games, I think, has to be a win. Now, would you rather have this done at the beginning of training camp? Absolutely. And is there some lessons that maybe the Commanders can take from this? Sure. You know, but in the end, he's not going to miss any games. You would hope, like, I think everybody, you know, whether you root for the Commanders or any of the other 31, like, everybody who likes football is hoping that this doesn't go the way that CeeDee Lamb's season went last year, where the hamstring was a problem, you know, coming out of a lengthy holdout. But I think overall, the Commanders come out of this looking better than the Bengals do right now with Trey Hendrickson, better than the Cowboys do with Micah Parsons. And, you know, for a team in its first go around in this sort of situation, it's, you know, that's a good thing. And hey, here's the other thing too, guys. Like, I've always felt this way, and I've said this to people from the very start of it. Like, the one thing that the Commanders 100% had going for them there is there was never going to be a problem with paying Terry McLaurin. They were always going to be able, no matter what they gave him, whether it was 30, 35, 40, whatever it was, right? They were always going to be able, at the end of this, to point to Terry McLaurin and look everybody in the rest of the locker room in the eye and say, that's what we pay. That's the kind of person that we pay. That's the kind of pro that we pay. That's the kind of player that we pay. And that, to me, is like what protects the Commanders in this whole thing, is like, no matter what you give him, he is a shining example of what they're going to reward. And, you know, obviously that's a really good thing. And I know, you know, guys like Dan Campbell and Cliff and everybody else there are pretty grateful that, you know, in inheriting a situation that was broken in a lot of ways, they got a player like that they can point to in that way.
Albert Breer, check him out, SIMMQB, monitoring the entire league. Hey, real quick, what else are you working on? What are some of the big stories you got?
Oh, we got a lot going on right now, Dan. Grant, you know that. Like, so I have my 26th training camp stop today. So that
you made
be
it to how
me.
Many?
So
26?
Yeah, I'm six short. I'm six short.
You were so slacking. What happened?
Well, I'll tell you. Like, I think 32 is impossible in this day and age. John Clayton, God rest his soul, used to find a way to pull off 32. I think that was back in the days of two-a-days, and he might have fibbed a little, where he maybe like drove by one of the camps and right. Just waved.
Quick selfie.
Way to
yeah.
Camp.
Does the 26? If you hit a joint practice, you can knock out two, right?
Right. And those can be tricky, though. Like, those are like, and I think you guys have been to those. Those are kind of a cluster, you know. So when I've gone to those, what I try to do is I try to go to the visiting team's hotel the night before. And that's actually what kind of created the situation for me last week when I was with the Commanders. I was going to do the Commanders Ravens joint practice, and then they canceled it. Right. So I can't remember which team. I think maybe it was the Ravens that canceled it. I can't remember. But at any rate, like, then I was like, okay, like, what do I do? And I will tell you guys that driving from Owings Mills, Maryland to Ashburn, Virginia, like, I was like 70 miles and it said like an hour and a half on the Maps app. And I'm like, that's 70 miles. I can do that. And you know how you try to beat it. So I'm like, I could do that
of course.
Like under an hour.
Good luck with that.
You can't do it in under an hour.
Yeah,
it's a lot of back roads. I drove by like a cigarette outlet, which I hadn't seen one of those in probably 25 years. The sweetest corn in three states was one of the signs I drove by there. So it was, that was one of the more interesting days of the last month for me.
I hope you got some sweet corn in your travels.
It's very sweet.
Well, like a lot of the farm stands out there are really cool. Actually, that was, you're driving over. I can't, is it 17? What's the 15? Whatever it was, you're driving over the Maryland, Virginia state line. It was kind of a cool little drive there. One of those things that you probably won't ever see again if not for doing these sorts of things, you know.
Well, we'll be tracking and reading
there's
everything.
A covered bridge too, if you guys want to check that out. There's a covered bridge that I drove through across the state line.
Ooh, okay. I dig that.
Yeah. That's way out west there, yeah.
No, the content's been awesome. The travel was well worth it because the stories and all of the insights been great. Keep it up, and thanks for a couple minutes.
No, thanks, Grant. I appreciate that. Have a good one, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Well, there's Albert Breer, MMQB, NSI, with us on Grant and Danny. You can check out his work there. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will have our fantasy series getting underway all week long, right at 5 o'clock. Fantasy at 5. We're going to get you ready for your drafts. Quarterbacks is the position group we're diving into today. Next, Brian Robinson met with the media out in San Francisco, had some thoughts on the Commanders trading him. You will want to hear. Plus, we'll dive back into the Terry McLaurin extension, a new contract. It is done. You're listening to The Fan. Coming up at 5 o'clock, just over 10 minutes from now, Jamie Eisenberg will talk fantasy football with us all week long, right at 5 o'clock. We're going to do fantasy at 5. So we'll pick a different position every day, quarterbacks today, receivers or running backs tomorrow, and then the other of the two on Wednesday. We'll go tight ends and defense to round out the week. But we'll do deep dives. Hopefully you guys have fantasy drafts coming up. We'll get you ready for those. In fact, we are currently sifting through all of the folks that want to come into the Grant and Danny Listener League. We are drawing names as we speak. The guys are getting the league together behind the scenes. Dad, how did things turn out? We got, I know, several hundred people that wanted to be in our fantasy league, which is awesome. Where are we at in the process? You guys are starting to pull names already? What's going on?
Yes, names are being pulled. We are getting this league together. The amount of entries, thank you to everyone who wants to be in.
It's really appreciate
honor,
that.
Yes, that everybody wants to join the Grant and Danny Show Listener League. But unfortunately, we only have 11 spots. So we'll see who those 11 people here are by the end of the show.
Because we've got ourselves, and then we've got the defending champion.
Correct. Yes, the defending champion, Scott, will be returning.
Are we doing a move again where we share teams to make room for more people?
That'd be correct, yes.
Totally fine with that, by the way. I just
for sure
was clarifying.
So there will be a Grant and Danny team, and then there will be a producer's room team.
Love that. And we're doing the draft at Pupatella Pizza in Springfield on Wednesday night.
It's going to be so much pizza.
Lots of pizza. So I think we should invite anybody that wants to come out.
Oh, absolutely.
You can watch the draft. You can hang out with your pals. If you want to come out to Springfield and have a pizza dinner or whatever, we're going to be there drafting a football team. So you can, watch some TV and hang out with the boys and be merry. Nats game will be on at Yankee Stadium as well, which will be good.
Great for Ryan. He loves the Yankees.
That's true. Ryan gets to watch the Yankees. Well, he's not going to come, remember.
It's a work thing, so maybe he comes.
He didn't come last year.
Is there a video element?
No.
Are we streaming the video? Can he tell us to get on the stream?
Can you guys stop the stream? Yeah, you're right. He may not come.
He didn't come last year. That's a good point.
I had to draft our team all by myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Reoccurring theme here. But it's going to be a lot of fun. If you guys do want to come, if you like fellowship and tomfoolery, then hang with us. Toby will be there. Toby, are you coming? Possibly.
That's the plan.
All right. Very good.
Assuming I'm not puking from a workout.
Damn it.
Oh, you're not going to do that Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. We're doing it.
No, but you're not going to do it this week.
Yeah.
Toki. Are your arms even recovered yet?
He's fine.
He couldn't move his arms on Friday.
We're all good, man. We're all good.
Lift them over your head. Let me see.
It's not possible.
You still can't?
No, we're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Full movement. Full range of motion.
Are you going to back off a little bit this week?
We're just going to do something different.
A lot less?
No, it's different.
Strenuous?
Different.
Yeah, I would keep going back to the same personal trainer for sure.
Oh, stop it.
Although, how were all your personal training classes that you took? Pretty good. What was your favorite class that you took?
Well, I don't know what bit you're doing.
The bit of you have no idea what you're just blind leading the blind over here.
I
you know how to work out for yourself as a D1 athlete who's a fit gentleman.
Sure. I'm sort of trying to say, hey, let's try this together. We're working out together.
It didn't work out very well is all I'm saying. Are you going to do a little more research on what a newcomer should be doing in the gymnasium or no?
Listen, you're trying to drag him out. Don't you do that.
I'm not dragging him out. He should go. I'm saying you need to not make him throw up.
Oh, I see what you're trying to do instead, yeah.
He's going. That's great. He should. Work out. That makes you a better person.
Yeah.
I'm saying you...
Me.
Maybe should... This isn't Danny. This is Toby.
Right.
What if we cater to work out for his skill set?
Yes.
Have we considered that?
Yeah, oh, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Anyways, Darius, Do the people that you pick to be in the league have to be able to come to the draft in person? I think that should be a priority.
Yeah, it's definitely been a priority in years past. It's a part of the whole experience.
It's kind of like
hanging out with the guys.
We have a league all season, but it's kind of a one night big deal.
Sure,
I would say.
Yeah, and what's
like
awesome,
a show party with listeners.
In years past, I don't even know how to access this thing, but people do it. The league chat was always hopping for like G&D shtick and listeners talking to each other. That's really, really cool. I love that kind of element that got fostered with that. So that kind of continues on from that night of bits. But yeah, it's really about eating pizza that night and drafting a foosball team.
And we're only 2 days away. So you will find out if you're in the league by the end of tonight. You're going to be reaching out to people in the next several hours.
That'd be correct. And I just got the big draft board in the mail yesterday. So we'll have the big
draft board.
We'll have a draft board.
Yeah, just like we did last year.
With stickers.
It's going to be awesome.
We're throwing it back old school. I love that.
We'll get the big group picture with the with the guy at the trophy and everything. It'll be great.
Very good. Have we discussed the trophy being there?
Details still being worked out there.
Yeah. It might be a trophy, not the trophy.
I mean, we know where the trophy is. Have we been in consultation with the trophy holder?
To be determined.
Sounds like no to me.
That was a word for no.
There's a lot of words. No is easier.
I didn't say no.
Okay.
You did not say no.
But he wouldn't say it either. Jamie Eisenberg, speaking of fantasy, let's talk about the quarterback position. At 525, we're taking up to 630. Terry's reputation. We all just kind of forgive and forget and move on, right? Is anybody actually going to hold any of this against him moving forward? Grant and Danny on the Fan.